welcome to the Utah Puck Report. Glad to be back. Season 4, we're kicking it off with the NHL this time. It's going to be amazing. Very honored to have Luke Robitaille in the studio with us today. Luke, thanks for coming on.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
It's your name has come up quite a bit in our show. Obviously with Trevor Lewis and with you kind of being a local guy. I mean, you're a Park City guy.
Yep. Park City, Heber Valley, the whole area there. So I've just been coming for years. Love it.
Yeah, and I'm friends with George Parros, and you've had him in on your celebrity game a couple mm-hmm. times, and that's always been fun for us to have George here, and it's funny what he was as a player and what he is as a person. People don't really see the correlation there.
He's a pretty special guy. I mean, I remember when he came out. I think it was Princeton, and he was a. Every summer, he never made our team for 3 years, and every summer we'd be working on our practice facility. And in those days, it was just a few veterans that would live in Los Angeles, and he was there every summer. And when he finally made the team, I asked him, I go, that was pretty clever of you. You would just hang out with us and work out every day. So he goes, you know, I figured I'll hang around you guys as long as I can until you throw me out, and if you don't, maybe you'll just decided to keep me on the team, and it worked out. He ended up having a great NHL career, and it's amazing sometimes when you really want to accomplish something, what you could do.
Yeah, he's a special individual, one of the smartest people I've ever met, and he had his mind made up. And like you say, he's undergrad and graduate school at Princeton, and then now he's, president of player safety?
Yeah. He's in charge of all the suspension. He's a big guy.
that's so weird to think of an NHL fighter now being in charge of that. But anyway.
But he's smart enough to handle that. So that's what made him different than most guys.
Luke, one of the things we talk about on the show all the time is, and we were talking about it a little bit before, is a lot of the Salt Lake guys that actually get to make it, even if it's just in the AHL or East Coast League, and we've had a lot of guys that ended up drafted and ended up getting to play pro, but when they were younger, they weren't recruited. They weren't the number one guy. We've talked to Trevor. Trevor had, a lot of obstacles to overcome. We talked the same with Daniel Brickley. Like, he didn't even get out of here until he was 18 years old mm-hmm. and now playing in the AHL. But you kind of have a similar story, and I think a lot of people that know of you maybe don't know the whole story of being a ninth-round pick.
Yeah. drafted in the ninth round. But to come back at Dan or Trevor, I mean, it's really good that they came out of here in the system. And, you never know where you're going to get drafted. Those are things you can't control. What you can control is the way you play and what you do with it. And when you get drafted, whether you're in the first round or in the ninth round or in the 10th round or today it only goes to seventh round. I wouldn't have even been drafted. Right. I wouldn't be here.
That's amazing.
If it was today's game. But it's what you do with the opportunity you have.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you take a look at Trevor Lewis. He went to the USHL and he had tremendous success. We ended up picking him in the first round. But when he came to L.A., he wasn't going to play on the top two lines, and he realized that. So he made the best out of it, and he's been playing now for, I think, over 12 years in the NHL. It's amazing, when you're able to adapt and if you love something enough that you're able to do the best you can with what you got, and he's done that, and that's why he's still playing.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And I've compared him to Dustin Penner a few times. Like, I tell him, you just adapted your game, and you just refuse to quit, and you do whatever's asked of you, and that's...
Every one of us talk about Trevor Lewis because of what he does off the ice, the way he treats himself, treats people. He's a great leader, and that's why there's always room on your team for a guy like Trevor Lewis. For us, it was really hard when he left, and the reason it was because we're in a hard cap system. It became a numbers game, but we certainly tried to hang on with him as long as we could because we understood what he did, around the team.
Yeah.
There's so much value to it. And that's why a guy like Daryl Sutter signing him in Calgary was so important to them.
Right, yeah. And he got your Unsung Hero Award, every year that he was there. And a player like that, Calgary needs a guy like that.
Yeah.
And it's nice, you guys held on to him long. Like, you respected him. And I think there's definitely no hard feelings. And I know that in everybody's mind here, Trevor will always be an LA King, and that the fan base that you guys built here was with him being here. Like, there were a lot of LA Kings fans already here.
Yeah.
And then with him, and then I'm a Jonathan Quick enthusiast, I guess you'd say. I just worship the guy. I think he's amazing. But so I have a few more questions that come through here that we allow some of our fans to ask. I want to get to those in a second. But a couple questions I've always wondered, because you're one of the rare people that have won a Stanley Cup. You won it as a player with Detroit. And then you've crafted a team and won it twice as a president. So is one better than the other? How do you rate those?
Well, it's, you know, if you're a player and you can win as a player, there's nothing like it.
Right.
Because it's very special. You have all the sacrifice. First, you try to make it pro. Once you turn pro, you hope every day you're going to stay. And then one day you're like, oh, man, I want to win the championship for us in hockey. I want to win the Stanley Cup. And I remember in 1993, we went to the finals, and I looked at a couple of my teammates. We'll be back next year. We'll win next year. We didn't make the playoffs in the next 5 years.
Wow.
And then you realize then our heart, it's got to be. And it comes down to, first of all, you got to have a great team. But injuries plays, and then guys struggling, and then something can happen that changes everything. And then to have the opportunity to win towards the end of my career, I really got to appreciate it. It was absolutely incredible. And then I learned a lot, you know, because when you're a player and I was a goal scorer, I always thought I could help the team. Get me on the ice. I'm going to, you know, save the team.
Right.
I'll do that. But then you realize when you win that it does take everyone. It's a fourth line player. It's the guy that played two games in the playoffs sometime that's been an extra, but that came in and sacrificed himself for that one shift that, you know, as a player makes a difference. So from that standpoint, it was pretty special. The cool thing about winning it in management is when you're a player and you win, you celebrate with your family, your teammates, you know, the trainers, the coaching staff, and it's people really close to you, and it's the ultimate rush. When you're in management and you start, you know, talking to fans and understanding their season seat holder that have been, you know, paying their hard-earned money for 20 years following a team, some for 30 at the time, and they've never seen a Stanley Cup final. So when you win, you're in management, you realize it impacts thousands of people, not just the team.
Right.
It really does make a big difference. So for me, it was amazing to see the big difference, but they're both, like, very, very special.
Yeah, and I know nobody grows up dreaming of being the president and pulling all, you know, you just grow up of thinking, oh, I'm going to score the OT goal for the cup, right? But seeing all the moves and the off-season moves and you know, talk like Lou Lamoriello compares it to an orchestra and how you need to get all the different parts in and you know, almost everybody else compares it to building a house. You need a carpenter. You need an electrician. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's got to be amazing to realize that, to look out and see, I need this player, and to get that player in there or to draft the right guy. I mean, that's got to have so much, like, sense of accomplishment. You're like a magician, like, just pulling all this stuff off, or a master chef.
When you get the right guys at the right place at the right time, it truly is amazing. Like, in 2012, when we won, like, every guy was filled perfectly. I think when you draft, you have to draft the best player at the time. For us, the last 4 years, we've been really focused on character and obviously, you know, speed and skill, but character first. And then we figured once we have all these kids in place, then it will fall the right place. If a kid doesn't match, because they can't all play. If you have 50 kids or 50 prospects, you only have a roster of 20. They can't all play for you, but maybe at the time that we'll be able to either, you know, utilize some assets to make the move that we need that extra player just to take us to the next level. And that's kind of like the way you're trying to build like a championship team.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was so fun to watch you guys pull it off, especially that first year where you barely make the playoffs and then you just caught fire. It was amazing.
Yeah, that first year, the way the guys played, in our sport, I've never seen a team where literally everyone for an entire playoff series like was playing at their peak to the role they were given. I've never seen that. And that's the reason is we won the playoffs that year with the least amount of games ever in the history of the NHL, which is truly incredible.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, funny enough, we were down 3-0 in the first series, and we won the entire Stanley Cup playoff with the most amount of game in the history of the game. So it kind of showed the kind of character players we had.
Yeah, what an amazing group. And it's been so much fun as a LA Kings fan.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, one more question about you. And there's a moment of your career that stands out to me. And I'm not going to admit that I got teary when this happened, but obviously you had your lap around Staples Center when you're retiring,
mm-hmm.
but your final game against San Jose Sharks, when that's a rival team,
yeah,
and they're chanting your name, like,
yeah, that was pretty cool. That was, it's funny, you go through an entire career and you give yourself, you know, and I love what I did for all these years. And I do remember my one of my best friends was my agent. My parents were there, and then the team at the time waited. The San Jose Sharks waited and shook my hands and said, yeah, "Great career." And I was, at the time, no one had ever really done that.
Yeah.
So that was pretty overwhelming for me, like just to see. I think these guys realized how much I love the game, and that was why they stayed. I think it was led by Joe Thornton at the time too. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, he is.
You know, but it certainly was pretty cool. And then to hear the chants of the fans was something I'll remember forever.
Yeah, I think all hockey fans that saw the game will remember it forever. It was amazing. Now you see it more and more. Obviously, you saw it with Gretzky. I think they did it for Paul Kariya too. And there's been a few other players that have been mm-hmm. respected in the other rinks, but that was the first time I remember seeing it. And I remember just like everybody in the bar just tearing up. It was just amazing. What a compliment to you as a player. So you're rekindling the frozen fury.
Yep.
So and this the last few years it's been the Salt Lake Shootout. And now it's the Frozen Fury, which was played in Vegas before, right?
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
there was the
For
Vegas
15
Knights.
Years, yeah.
And it was, wasn't it LA and the Sharks?
It was, most of the years was LA and Colorado.
Oh, that's
they
right.
were
okay.
1 year, I think it was the Rangers, might have been the Sharks 1 year, but most of the years it was Colorado.
Okay. And how do we pick Salt Lake?
You know, it happened, well, first of all, I've been here, you know, for yeah. so many years, and I can't remember how I ended up calling Mark Powell from the Vivint Arena. Someone gave me his name, and I just called him. I said, listen, we're not going to play in Vegas anymore because Vegas, we're coming in the league. I said, we have an extra game. Would you be interested in hosting us? And he jumped all over it. They were like, yeah, let's do it. This is going to be great. And so we were pretty excited because we're looking for an event for our Kings fans to be able to travel to. That's easy. And come and watch and enjoy the game. So we should have probably called it Frozen Fury right from the get-go. Now we're excited about it because it means something for the LA Kings fans. It's like an yeah. event. It's like the season is starting. This is the time where we play like a almost full roster and all that. So it's from that standpoint, there's an excitement around it.
And this was a little different. So preseason, there's typically at least 8 veteran players.
Yeah.
And this year they've added the shootout to all the games. Is that going to happen?
I don't know. They have added now. I don't know if it's just the first two games. I have to be honest. I really don't know, but okay. I certainly hope it's fun.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fun
to see it. Yeah,
and I've watched. You know, I watch every game I can. I watched the preseason game last night with Vegas, and it was kind of a weird thing because they won the game and then
yeah,
they lost
and then
the shootout. And the announcers are like, "Well, typically after they win, they salute the crowd,
yeah.
but I guess because they lost the shootout, they all left the ice angrily." But I want to like preseason. Some people used to say, oh, it's just a preseason game. I don't go. But now you don't see that anymore. You see sold-out arenas for preseason because you see, you know, you do get the eight veteran players, but you get the other players like we're talking about. You have 50 on a roster. You have guys that you want to see make the club and guys that are doing whatever it takes to make the club. So there's a ton of excitement here.
Yeah. I mean, for us, I would think we're going to have more than eight tomorrow veterans. And then the other thing is we've been voted with the number one prospect pool this past couple of years. So we have a ton of competition with our kids.
Yeah.
So you're for sure going to see some top prospect in the entire world and tomorrow playing. And from that standpoint, I think it's going to be fun because those kids are – they're gunning for it. Like we had the kid Byfield, Turcotte, Furk, you know, Spence on defense. It just goes on. Kaliev, like these kids, like, we have a couple spots open. They know it. So whomever's having the best camp is going to start with us.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you do, like, the prospects you have are just amazing to watch. And I watched most of your AHL games last year because we do have an AHL player down there or a Utah player on your AHL team. Last year we had two. This year we have one.
Who?
Nick Halloran?
Yeah, Nick Halloran. Yeah. I didn't know he was from here. I'm going to go talk to him next week.
he's a Salt Lake boy. We love him. We got to see him play last year. I thought he did really well in the games
he
got.
Yeah, he was really good, yeah.
Point of game guy. Yeah. And then the only other real tie-in to Salt Lake we have, and a lot of people maybe don't know, is where you live, and you've got Claude Lemieux had a place up there, Brad May. But so you've got Claude Lemieux's kid this year, Brendan.
Brendan.
And he spent a lot of time developing here in the summers and running those mountains up there. And it's fun to watch him, too. We kind of feel like he's a Salt Lake kid, those that got to train with him.
He spent a long time here like when he was a kid. And he's a good little player. He brings a lot of intensity to the game. He understands his role. And he's one of those players that every team needs. You know, he just kind of will finish a hit. He's sandpaper, a little dirt in him. But he's so we like him a lot, and he's one of those guys that becomes a fan favorite real quickly.
Yeah, I've noticed that with him, and his father was so intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, even just to practice, because they'd call me to go up there and be the goalie, and I'd take shots from him, and he'd yell at me, and I'm like, for just dumb things, and, like, if I challenged too far out of the net, he'd yell at me for it, and he scared me to death.
Claude was crazy.
Yeah. He's definitely intimidating. One of the questions we had come offline when we told him we had a chance to talk to you was the blackouts, because LA Kings games get blacked out in Salt Lake a lot.
Did they really?
Yeah, and I don't know.
Huh.
And same with Vegas. So it's really weird. We can watch every Colorado game. We can watch any other game. But even if you have any of the other tickets or whatever.
So the LA Kings games get blacked out.
Yeah, we lose a lot of LA Kings games and we lose a lot of Vegas games.
Well, I'm glad to know that. I'll make sure. I've actually got a meeting with our TV network in about 20 minutes. So
perfect.
I won't talk to them about it.
I feel like we've made a huge accomplishment, even if it just gets brought up. Because, like I said, I'm a diehard Kings fan, and it kills me. And I've tagged them in it. Even though I've used our show platform. And I've been like, this is ridiculous. Why can't we watch Kings
games? And the Vegas game shouldn't be blacked out either for you guys. I mean, Vegas is a fun team to watch.
There's literally nothing else we can do.
We're going to be real fun to watch.
I can't wait to see you. All right, I'm on it.
I actually, here's what I'll do. I promise you I will call the league on it. So you're telling me if you get the NHL package, the games get blacked out?
Yep.
Well, that's ridiculous. I'm really sorry to whomever asked a question. I'm going to try to get on it.
Okay, perfect. And it was more than one person. The main questions we got were about the blackouts, and then the other thing, we wanted to talk a little bit about what you thought of Salt Lake, because we're pushing hard to get an AHL club. And 2 years ago when you guys played Vancouver, they picked me up as the E-Bug, and I sat down with them before the game. I was with their GM, and he's just telling me how they're looking at Salt Lake. They wanted to bring their AHL club here. Do you think Salt Lake can support AHL again? We've had it.
Yeah. You said you're pushing hard. You should see how hard I'm pushing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
we were the one, us and Anaheim, to bring the AHL on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It's been very, very successful. Most buildings are packed. And it's, I mean, we're even going to have a team in Palm Springs in California.
Oh, I knew that, yeah.
And but I would love to have a team here in Utah. I just think they're – it's a great market, so I'm working hard at it behind the scene. I would love to see that happening, and I think the more people keep pushing for it, the more it gives us a chance to bring a franchise here.
Okay, so pushing for it, that means we're emailing people.
Yeah.
What about buying? Like, I tell people, hey, we got to start getting more fans to our Grizzlies games.
Yep.
We have ECHL here. That's how Colorado did it.
Yeah.
They sold that building out all the time. But I could see in the future with what you've got built, because Boise has a pretty good setup too.
That's right. Yeah.
And to pull Salt Lake and Boise into the AHL
would be fantastic. Yeah.
It'd be perfect.
I would personally love it.
Okay, so
gives me an excuse to keep coming during the winter.
And that's what we want. That's what we want. All the hockey we can get. We consider you a local, and we're excited about the Frozen Fury. And I appreciate you coming on the show. Are there tickets left for this?
Is there tickets?
Oh, there's
just a few tickets
left.
So hurry up.
And how do we get them? Just go on viventarena.com. Yeah. That's how we get the tickets. I bought mine right away, and I'm excited to go. And it was just like, I think what you guys are doing for us is amazing. We appreciate you bringing the game. We love the Kings, and there are a lot of Knights fans here, and we just appreciate you guys coming out.
Yeah, it should be fun tomorrow. We're looking forward to that one.
Okay, big game tomorrow night. Luke Robitaille, thank you so much for being on the
show.
It's been amazing. And that is the Utah Puck Report.